the return to Kilo. A blustery, cool October afternoon. Skippy, the little boy, is over at his uncle's house. A shabby place, a short walk from his parents' house. Long-haired young men sitting on the floor in a circle, smoking joints and talking about mystic revelations. Skippy had a mild, magical feeling, contact high, while he was over there. This was the final days of the New Consciousness Movement. It nearly took the country over some 10 years back when Skips was too young to realize what was happening in the world. The youth who made up this movement modeled much of their beliefs and lifestyle after elves. Long hair, loose flowing clothes, deep interest in art, poetry, and music. A movement that quickly took power and it was crippling the state when it was mostly through violence and incarceration brought down. Is the ruins of an elven village from 60 years back, before the last of their kind were driven out. The New Consciousness Movement moved in 20 years earlier, and for 3 years they had a commune. It was raided by local townsmen, mostly jocks. They proceeded to rape and or murder most of the commune. Our protagonist's uncle has a preserved leather hippie vagina he took as a trophy. Uncle also has a knife. Has some knife cut elf nipples in a jar of formaldehyde. The liquid has gone black and murky, and the flower for floating nipples are now black and badly degraded. Much of the settlement that once housed 340 elves was smashed and burned during the Great Purge. For a few decades, the remaining artifacts lay uncared about, including large clay and wood gods hundreds of years old. All that has long gone to private collectors within the last 30 years. From the time of the New Consciousness Movement, kids took home treasures. Then, post New Consciousness Movement, kids would be smashing 800-year-old clay vases of, and it's a big fad, and you look around and take out artifacts of elven culture with a superior smirk. Later, this area was popular to look for artifacts and arrowheads. Pretty much it's dried out in the last 10 years of searching. Went here with his New Consciousness uncle 4 times when he was a little boy. Back then there were still elf bones made into wind chimes hanging from the doorways, clacking. A few years later, wearing elf bones became popular, and all these wind chimes, they were all plundered. Skibby found a tiny dark blue rock carved into a bead in the image of a fierce-looking owl. One of his uncle's friends stole it from him when he showed it around. Stu later traded the bead for a joint. The place was littered with the bones and skeletons of the new consciousness commune, massacre victims. But they were cleaned up before Uncle ever took young Sib's hair. Our hero is the character Slibby. Slibby was innocent enough, old world name, meaning has useful hands. But past his parents' brief spark of hipness, it became a street slang for somebody who sucks the cum out of an ass man's ass with a crazy straw. A slibby. That's right. Street slang for someone who has penchant for sucking cum out of another man's ass with a crazy straw. The name got him in all sorts of fights and bedecked him with loads of abuse growing up in a hard, cruel world. Three. Plot. Skibby visits Keelol as a young man, having not seen it since he was a child when his hippie uncle took him out there. It centers around the elven ruins named Keelol. Skibby has been there as a child and he returns as a young adult. With a couple of friends when they're looking for a place to get high and have a little stoned adventure at. It's about his thoughts about the place on it, description of it, visits, and what he knows from urban legend and such about the place. Destruction of the indigenous plants of the area. Mainly the herbs the elves ate, used for rituals or to get high with. Them most of all. There once was 17 different buzz-rendering plants in this area. Now sometimes there's three. Five. About Skibby. A thin wisp of a little boy soon to erupt into a volcano flower filled of acne. Later, an angry young man with a bottle in his hand and a pipe in the other.
We won!
His light blonde hair got him a lot of mean mocking because elves had blonde hair, and they had been mostly killed or driven off in his grandfather's time. The Great Purging, where 2/3 of the infected generation were killed off in a short-lived civil war. The local bullies discovered a sinkhole sunny afternoon when they're chasing a fag kid, Eustace, across that cow pasture. that is seldom used nowadays. Someone had put two thin wooden boards across it years earlier and it's all rotten out with a layer of grass on top of it. The fag kid fell through with a girly scream. He fell 20 feet below with a broken wrist. Suspended above a cold, dark, underground river. They pissed on the kid and tormented him for days until only silence from below. Then they got covered the hole with sticks and grass. And they would put a toy instrument, like a cheap plastic recorder, over the trap, hoping to get their kid to break through. Jimmy had been sick for over 2 months. A delirium fever. The doctor thought he would die from it if the child lived. In the spring, with the spring came his recovery. He went out playing again. He found that elves had made a shelter in an old abandoned farm. Spiderweb hammocks covered in morning dew cured leaves. Jimmy was still small enough to climb into the hammock. It was not sticky, and it held firm for several weeks. He had the most wondrous dreams napping there in the afternoons. When he finally broke through the webbing, he pulled out a jar's fill of the leaves. He still has them tucked away somewhere to this day. Some things, you know, they are bound to be found. I followed a sound, a gentle chime, tingling bell flutter in the shelter belt in the blizzard. I worked through knee-deep snow, following this distant but persistent sound. I found these wind chimes flung high in the branches of a tree. A set of chimes of a spider god as its base. A web of spiderweb chains, ending in long and green chimes and silver bells. As a child, I would explore the grove of wide trees behind the farm. I discovered that there's an old, make that ancient elven couple living there. They're a nice home with walls made of living trees. I'd sneak into within peeping distance and watch this wonderful old couple go about their activities. That was until one day I snuck in to witness them both naked, wrinkled, thousand-year-old bodies in the pale sunlight. I gasped in shock, and the male lifted his face in my direction, and I ran off in embarrassment. I never went back to that location. And some 6 years later, all the trees were cut down to make a wheat field. I walked Southfield daily, awaiting its eventual sales to the evil moneyed lords. Yesterday morning, I saw footprints, somebody else's. They came through the field and parallel to the house. Seemed to stand and shuffle there, one cigarette butt left behind. So I began patrolling the night, wondering if my rifle. I caught the fucker the very next night. He had some sort of high-tech binoculars that he used to peer into the bathroom window. The one away from the road, facing the shelter belt, and when the in-between season field, I got as close as I could before he heard me, and he turned around. That's when I squeezed off 7 shots. He died that night. Late at night, I awake to the sound of harsh tapping against the glass window of the kitchen. 3 minutes later, I get out of bed groggily to check it out. Halfway down the hall, I hear the fucking window break. I run around and rush back to my bedroom, get the gun I should have picked up the first time. A nice 45 with a long snout on it. I carefully go into the kitchen. There's a fucking crow that has pecked the glass open. It's holding the roach of the joint I smoked before bed last night in its beak. When it sees me, it flies out the windowsill and steps through the hole in the glass. I go to the window and watch it fly away with the roach I plan to puff for breakfast. Bigging friggin' crow home invasion. I'm sorry.
We'll be right back.